Greebs.
Mr. Hey, hey, hey.
Greebs, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm soaking in this Thursday. Why not?
And then your one and only host, Mr. Lip. Alrighty, everybody. So we're going to get right into it today. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. The main topic we're going to say is resiliency. Resiliency in recovery, resiliency in life, resiliency of people in general, the ability for us to bounce back. So with that being said, I would like to kick it off with talking a little bit about the free store. Phoebes, take it away.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd love to give TS the opportunity to tell us a little bit about more about, you know, what your connection is with the community and the Philmont Free Store. On our last show, I think it was, Lip,
yep.
Let our listeners know how much we love the Philmont Free Store. We talked a little bit about how important, you know, spaces like that are. But yeah, you're our guest, TS. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more and talk to us about your connection with the Free Store.
Hey, everybody. This is TS. How are you doing out there? I worked in New York City as a vice president for advertising with Creamer Dixon Basford, which is one of the largest PR or advertising firms in New York City. And I've moved back up here. I grew up in Chatham and went to Chatham High, then went to Yale. And I'm glad to be back. And I'm on the board of the Philmont Free Store and work as the media contact, and I don't volunteer 4 days a week at the store. We're located at 104 Main Street in Philmont, which is next to the McNann's Deli, almost across from the public library on Main Street. So please come out and check us out. Everything at the Free Store is free.
Free.
Free. And we have.
But is it absolutely free?
Absolutely. We even have gluten-free food.
Woo! No gluten.
So we have right now, we have been graciously had the space donated since last November. And starting in January, we're going to have to start paying rent and utilities and water and we have and other expenses. So
we were talking about that last week on the show.
That stuff's not free.
No, and, that's
and go ahead, Phoebe.
I was gonna say, I know for you know that's where sometimes we ask. I know in the free store that I was part of up in Hunter, it would often sometimes be also please donate if you can to keep the doors open, because we started out with rent and utilities, and you know, so there is an expense for folks to run these shops, and it usually is volunteers.
Yeah, there's who are no one,
the door
no one
open,
no
right? So it's not necessarily a ton of money to keep it going, but it is a lot of work, and it does, you know, the reality. It's funny, right? A free mart is kind of undermining sort of the capitalist trap that you have to have money to access basic needs. A free store kind of turns it upside down on its head and says, if you really don't have a dollar in your pocket, you can come have food and clothing and some basic needs tended to in a place like this. However, the free mart is still stuck under capitalism, so we gotta pay rent.
It is a lot of beautiful stuff. Their stock there is beautiful, Phoebes. I actually
It's
I went in and I got a nice jacket myself. I'm wearing a shirt right now I got from there.
It's yeah, nice and it's, you know, the essence of keeping it a free store is so important. That's what kind of helps, you know, move everybody along. But if you can offer the, you know, donate just $5, $2, it does go a long way too. So, but yeah, the topic today for our show is resiliency. It sounds like the Philmont Free Store is going to have a challenge of and that will require some resiliency for y'all to kind of shift into this next chapter of your lives.
While we continue talking about this, Phoebes, I've got an idea.
I want to hear it.
So, Mr. T.S., So, Mr. T.S., we can talk over the music.
Okay.
What exactly, what else do we have at the the free store?
Well, we offer food, both perishable and non-perishable, clothes for both adults and children, children's toys, books, children's books. We have a great need for, as I said, financial donations because we need to raise...
And where do those go?
Which?
The financial donations.
They go to keeping the store...
No. How does somebody go about donating?
You can go to philmontfreestore.wordpress.com, or if you have a Facebook account, just go to Philmont Free Store. The other thing we are in need for is for children's toys for Christmas. That's a big need every year. So if you can help us out, you can come by the free store and bring donations. Check us out on Facebook, which lists our hours when we're open. And we'd be glad to either take a donation there, or you can make it online for a financial donation, or bring any of the other items I mentioned. We also could use more volunteers. So if there's anybody listening in the Philmont Hudson Hillsdale area, please, you can call me at 518-755-6109.
I've recently myself started volunteering at the free store. I'm shadowing our good Mr. T.S. here. He's teaching me the ropes of it all, and I love it there. I really do.
For the Christmas presents for the kids, are you looking for new stuff in boxes or gently used stuff or both?
Both. We're looking, particularly new stuff is nicer, but gently used toys as well.
Unwrapped,
yeah. But toys that are new can be wrapped if you want to. If you want to wrap them, that would be great.
Okay. And Phoebes, I wanted to ask you really quickly, is there any way we could try to put a link somewhere for the free store? I'm not sure where we would put it, but I just wanted to know if we could just in case people did want to donate or just check out like the Facebook and everything.
Yeah, so the best way to follow the Clubhouse is on Instagram or Facebook at C2 Clubhouse. It's C2 Clubhouse, so we can post our information there. We don't actually have a Clubhouse website, but so those would be the places to find our information.
All right, cool. Yeah. And the free store, it all fits into the topic of resiliency, you know, because like you're able to keep going even without an income, because like we said, everything is free there. There is nothing that we ever charge for or will ever demand a price for. But like he said, they subsist off of donations. But it's a resilient store in, like Phoebe said, the market of capitalism, which is a beautiful thing.
That's the concept of a free store. And in today's inequities that we have with those with high incomes and those with low to almost no incomes, the free store sees it as an opportunity to embolden those that need, who have food insecurities, housing insecurities, and we want to be a part to help them with that. The free store has a lot of different tentacles that we help to reach out into the community.
Gotta love those tentacles. Okay.
I mean, I feel like so much of where resiliency comes from is, there's sort of a metaphor here of like just being able to access, like to have like enough community resources around you that you can kind of always find like a support or a problem solve or a tool or whatever you need to kind of keep moving through life. And my experience with free marts a lot of times is when you step into that space, it can kind of feel like it's filling a really big community gap that no other store really fills, where it's not just a place to pick up a brand new pair of jeans that you would have spent $80 on otherwise. But it's also a place where maybe you find like an old book that you never would have found otherwise. That kind of sends you on a journey, and you run into a neighbor.
Records.
Yeah, you run into a neighbor who, you know, wants, is looking for somebody to pay $40 to help them with their yard, and now you got a job that's going to help you deal with some other. There's so many other ways. It's a community space as much as it's a store.
And I found exactly that people coming to get,
yeah, and that's where it can support these other larger community issues like addiction, like recovery, like poverty, like homelessness. It's a space where folks come together with no judgment, no shame. Everybody can benefit and everybody can be part of kind of creating a different way of, and I really hate, I never talked about our Free Mart as charity, because it's not charity. It helps everybody equally, no matter what place you are on earth, what place you are in towards of like money, because that community building and that connection, and even having a way to tap out of capitalism, you know, there's, yep. And people throw out an average of 70 pounds of clothing per person per year in this country. Goes into the weight, it gets burned, right?
That's so crazy.
Free Marts give every person a chance to even be more environmentally conscious, right? It's not charity. It's a different way of just having a resilient community that cares about ethics differently. That's how I view it.
Yeah, I think for me, I feel like it's a much better option too, because you know, a lot of those clothing drop boxes that you see, you really have to be vigilant and kind of like look at where they are, because say for instance there's one next to a firehouse. If you put clothes in that, they use those as rags to clean the fire trucks.
Oh really?
And that's a necessity. I mean, they won't have to pay for rags, but
somebody, you know, could wear them,
right? It's not going to on a person's back, it's going to another purpose, because there is such an overabundance in the system. People are donating way more than people need, you know?
And it's awesome. The stuff that they have at the Philmont Free Store, at least, is of a much higher quality than you'll get at like a discount store or somewhere where they sell clothing, like say Family Dollar, for instance. I went there and bought a belt for...
You didn't buy a belt.
No, at Family Dollar.
Oh.
I went there and bought a belt for like $8, and it broke in like a week. And everything I've seen at the Free Store is a much higher quality. It's much nicer.
We get donations of Calvin Klein.
I'm wearing a Calvin Klein shirt right now from there.
We had donations of many cashmere sweaters and cashmere jacket. We had someone bring in a coat that I know was valued about $3,000. It was almost brand new.
Wow.
Talking about the community that develops at the Free Store, we had two people meet, and she had her daughter there, and the other one said, I need to find someone to babysit my daughter. And the other one's daughter said, oh, I need a job babysitting. So it's a good place for the community to find, meet needs, other
Absolutely.
Needs as well.
That's what I felt when I was there my first day yesterday. I felt like I was a part of the community, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. But with that, we're going to take our first break before we come back for Lawless Lawrence's list. And Mr. T.S., lo and behold, is also a writer. He's got a short story to read us. And I've got an artistic push and pull of addiction breakdown that I wrote. And, of course, we got to have the bigger picture like we always do. And we're going to take a break with T.S.'s pick of the week. This song is called Solitude by Billie Holiday. Enjoy.
In my that never died. in my solitude. I'm praying, dear Lord above, send back my love. I sit in my chair, filled with despair. There's no one could be so sad. With gloom everywhere, I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad. In my solitude, I'm praying, dear Lord above, send back my
Welcome back, everybody. That was Solitude by Billie Holiday, a little out of character for our usual type of music, but beautiful nonetheless. So we are back. This is Recover Together. And before we get to Mr. Lawless Lawrence's list, as always, we are going to let TS over here share the reason why his namesake relates so much to who he is, TS. As in T.S. Eliot, the poet. Without further ado, here's T.S. with his poem.
Thank you very much. I'm going to read a poem that is kind of dark, and I was in a very dark mood when I wrote it. I was very depressed and sinking deep into a black hole, and this helped me get out of the hole. So be prepared for something that's a bit dark, okay? But again, there's always hope, and that happened with me. It's called Cultivated Existence. A soul tormented beyond its finite capacity will inexplicably soar with disregard of its mortal flesh towards the destructive rays of the blazing sun, shedding its protective foil from its waxen wings, like Icarus who flew too high towards the sun, with melting wax limbs condemning its ascent into the Aegean Sea, a beautiful boy lost to yielding zest and to tempt his corporal soul, youthfulness obsessions oblivious to dangers of his endearing fate, ordinary bodies travel the dangerous, tedious tragedy of living, with fragmented souls packed with cruelty spurring monotony, lulled by the maternity pain squeezed with children's birth, incredulous boredom made happy by day-to-day exerting labor, youthful dreams past squashed by defending aspirations, inescapable drudgery penetrates a one-time armored soul, living mystery in its path disabusing the spell of comfortable security. Desperation, the detectable sign of a fated existence. Relevation is of dreary anathema to dull our dreams. Hollow religious rites swallow expectancy for better days' veracity. Inescapable torment lingers as if waiting for truant Godot. Despair begets despair, whittling all sagacity of salvation, rallied by fits of morbid misery, looking for unrealistic remedies. My withered soul vanquished by blinding cultivated existence, sealed with irreversible damnation by the gruesome madness, frenzied in despondency, aching in torment as I slit my throat. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. That was amazing.
Thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful. We're going to introduce the second segment of the show. Some people's favorites and some people's super favorites. I'm just kidding. All right, guys. This is Lawless Lawrence with his list.
What's going on, guys?
Hello, Lawrence.
I took some excerpts from this article that I found from the APA, which is the American Psychological Association.
Sweet.
It's called Building Your Resilience.
Wow. Okay.
We all face trauma, adversity, and other stresses. Here's a roadmap for adapting to life-changing situations and emerging even stronger than before. So the first one, things you can do to build resilience is building connections. Connecting with other people, people who are trustworthy and compassionate, people who validate your feelings and understand where you're coming from. Something you could do is join a group, a faith-based community, a recovery community, a local organization, and you'll gain like social support, which is definitely needed for resilience.
Absolutely.
The next thing is fostering wellness, taking care of your body, getting the right amount of sleep, nutrition, hydration, exercise. You can practice mindfulness like prayer and meditation, journaling, and avoiding negativity, avoiding drugs and alcohol when possible, because these can be band-aids. You know, they're not permanent solutions. Next thing is finding purpose, helping others, volunteering. Like Lip is volunteering for the supporting a friend in need. This will help you find purpose and empowerment. You could be proactive, like addressing problems as they come up or breaking them down into small pieces. The next thing is making goals and moving towards them. Never focus on goals or tasks that are inachievable. You know, it's better to have smaller, more attainable goals than like
small, short-term goals that you can absolutely achieve. I agree with that entirely. I like that.
To take baby steps so that you have something that doesn't defeat you, where you have successes, because successes build self-confidence and make you more resilient to face day-to-day issues.
A bunch of short-term goals eventually equals the attainability of a larger long-term goal, right?
Right. Yeah, and I've talked about that many times. It's like we all want to be 10 years ahead of where we're supposed to be just because we spent so much time
where we've been.
You know, chasing drugs and alcohol and women and fast cars and whatever else, you know. So next thing is embracing healthy thoughts, keeping things in perspective. How you think affects your actions. Identifying irrational thinking. For example, if you're overwhelmed, it's okay.
It's okay not to be okay.
Yeah. Like you and I know, we all have people that we can count on, like when the chips are down.
Exactly.
You know, so we don't have to feel like we're alone. Another thing is accepting change. We all know change is inevitable. It's painful sometimes to have to face new changes. But we have to be flexible and roll with the changes. I know for a lot of us, we're good at being chameleons. We need to adapt to our surroundings to survive, especially when there's trauma involved.
Yep.
So looking at that skill and adapting it to other areas in your life can be beneficial. Maintaining a hopeful outlook. Be positive. Visualize what you want in your head. You know, so like you're always thinking about like where you're going to be.
And how you're going to get there.
Right.
Absolutely. I love that.
And the last thing is learning from your past. You know, looking.
My mother always said, if you don't learn from your history, you're destined to repeat it.
Winston Churchill said that.
Well, my mother always used to say it to me. Okay.
Was your mother Winston Churchill?
She might have been. I'm not sure. See. She had a secret life, and at night, I'm pretty sure she fought Nazis. That was a beautiful list, but it's important everybody remember that that's not a guide to becoming resilient, because resiliency is in all of us. It's a human trait. It's something that we've had genetically encoded in us to help us survive, and it's helped us throughout history, and it will continue to help us. And I want to take this really quick break real here to tell you guys that if there's anybody struggling at all, if you feel alone, if you feel like there's nowhere left to go, or if you have nowhere to turn or no one to talk to or no one that cares about you, I do. I genuinely do care. Lawrence cares. TS cares. Phoebes cares. We all love you, and you can do this. This fight is worth fighting, and recovery is not perfection. It's a process, and you can do it if you want to. Phoebes, you've been really quiet over there. Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah, I've just been enjoying the conversation.
So. Alrighty. Yeah. I was just making sure, because we're about to be coming back to the big picture. But I'm going to read a poem really quick. This one's called What They Said. And it's pretty short, but it's good. I'm pretty sure that I have superpowers. I think that I can fly. I'm stronger than 1,000 bulls. I can be injured, but I cannot die. I'm pretty sure I got this way from the darkness I've endured throughout. I doubt without the tragic times. The days destroyed by drugs just about finally brought me over the edge. At least in my head, I heard what they said. Fight.
Very good. Oh, I enjoyed that very much.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Phoebes, we're going to come right back, and we're going to let you do what you do best. We're going to take a quick break, 5-minute and 10-second long break. For Mr. Lawless Lawrence's pick of the week, it's I Will Survive by Cake, and we'll be back. This is Recover Together.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong, I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here without that look upon your face. I should have changed my fucking lock. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go walk out the door. Just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, not I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Of my broken heart, and I've spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry, but now I hold my head up high, and you see me with somebody new. I'm not that stupid.
stupid little person still in love with you. And so you thought you'd just drop by and you expect me to be free. But now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Oh, now go walk out the door, just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, now I will survive. Yeah, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. I will survive. I will survive. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to Recover Together. It was pretty funny. Me and Mr. Lawless Lawrence were sitting here dancing throughout that entire song, and we got TS here, just all reserved and professional, just chilling. It was pretty. It was very contrasting. It was beautiful. Anyway, we're back, and we are ready for Mr. Phoebs over there to paint us a grand old bigger picture. Y'all here?
Well, hello, hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. I very much enjoyed that version of I Will
Thank
Survive.
Thank you, so did
Cake.
I.
Cake is so good. Why?
I know, I love them, I love them. I can feel you dancing with us.
Totally. So yeah, all right. So we're talking about resiliency. And for today's bigger picture, I want to talk about a concept that some call biomimicry. Basically, I want to talk about the fact that we are natural creatures in this world. We come from nature, and nature has a lot of lessons for us to think about when it comes to what resiliency is really made out of. I think we, like humans, forget that they're animals sometimes. We forget that we're part of this larger
Lawrence
ecosystem.
Doesn't forget he's an animal.
Right. Lawrence is like always in that mode. Great, that's great.
Rawr.
Exactly. Because, like, you know, nature is an incredibly, I mean, look, anybody who's tried to weed a garden knows how resilient nature is, right? Like, the stuff just
right?
keeps popping back.
And like plants grow through concrete.
Exactly. And that, those are our kin.
That's what
those
I
are
am.
Our people. That's who we're made out of.
I
we're all
am.
Made
yeah,
of the
you,
same stuff.
That's what I am. If you make a the garden, you can
garden.
Put plastic.
Life's
you
a garden.
Put plastic
Dig
over it.
It,
put rocks on top of it, everything else, and the weeds still grow through it.
Still grow through it, right? And so don't. So thing number one, we talk about no shame here. Weeds are a term used to shame plants. We don't. Just like junkie gets thrown out the window, weed gets thrown out the window. Like the all creatures on this earth are resilient,
so
and brilliant,
we,
and
we,
designed.
Weed.
To,
we're going against the term weeds now. Okay.
Just so I've been fighting knows. This. I've literally been fighting this in my like local town.
Well, I'm joining.
They're like your
we
weeds
don't discriminate.
And your grass are overgrown. I'm like, that's not a weed. It's mugwort. But people don't know the difference between herbs and weeds here unless they it looks pretty in a certain way. It drives me nuts. Anyway, yeah, no, I, like the term weed is you. Dandelion is one of the most medicinal plants you can find.
And they taste wonderful.
My grandfather used to make dandelion wine.
There, yeah, dandelion is an incredible resource that is not only devalued, it's treated like a weed. You're taught to throw it away. This ties us back to the Freemart ethic. This ties us back to resiliency. For thing one, you do never deserve to be thrown away. You are not disposable. And most of this world is made up of a bunch of things that if we stopped disposing of them and valued them properly, we would be in a much better place than we are, I think, as humans. But I want to talk specifically about resiliency in nature and what, you know, I love Lawrence's list because I feel like that was like kind of like these really sort of like specific tools and ways to think about how to move through resiliency. This is sort of like the bigger picture even of like what makes nature so, like, why is nature so resilient? And there's kind of five different things that this biomimicry toolbox that has been put together sort of name. One is diversity. One is redundancy. One is decentralization. One is self-renewal, and the other is self-repair. So I want to talk about these kind of collectively and how we can apply them, both think about them and how we see them in nature and how they would apply to us as human beings trying to be resilient when we go through something difficult, right? So like thing one, diversity, like the more diversity we have, the more resilient the more diversity in your ecosystem, the more resilient it is.
Yep.
Because it means there's many different things that can potentially fill in and meet a form, right?
Niches.
Yeah. And so it's sort of a really natural thing. And yet a lot of times we're told there's one way recovery should look. There's one way success should look, right? Throw all that out the door because it actually makes us as people weaker.
And less resilient, yeah.
And less resilient, that the full diversity of human beings and expression, ideas, perspectives, that works in our favor. It's sort of natural. Redundancy I really love as a concept to think about in the context of recovery, because redundancy means not only are we diverse, but we have repeats, right? And so there's more than one sort of organism or species that provides a function, so that if you lose one pollinator, there's 20 more who pollinate, right, in theory, out in nature. With humans, when I think about this, I'm actually in my own resiliency. To me, I want to think about, if I lose one of my systems of resiliency, one of my tools of recovery, do I have enough redundancy in my life that that's not going to throw me off course? That's how I think about this in the recovery context. It's like, how can we create like the same idea of redundancy in our own lives so that, okay, you know, this one of the ways I manage anxiety is this particular type of tea. But if I ever can't find it at the store, I also manage it by having this exercise routine and this jazz music that I listen to. I've got a bunch of like, I got five different things in my toolbox that I use that has the redundant function of helping my anxiety. Okay. Right. And I think the more we can do that in our recovery, the more resilient we'll can be, because things will come and go in our lives. Loss is real. Access to things can disappear. So don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Diversity, redundancy.
Okay.
That's a great point.
I did like that. Yeah.
Cool. So then that takes us to decentralization, which means that all these different mechanisms that you have to manage your recovery or to help with resiliency are spread out, and so that if one part of your system goes down, it doesn't take everything out at once. Okay. So again, how does this apply, right? So when we think about this in nature, right, actually a lot of the like nutrients and even some of the communication, for example, but in a grove of trees, is spread out all through the root systems and the mushroom that connect the root systems. So that if one tree, actually what can happen is if one tree gets sick, it can communicate to the other trees that there's a sickness coming. Huh. And the whole grove of trees can begin to adapt to that.
Really?
Yeah, trees communicate through their roots. And
yeah, no, I knew
mushrooms.
That, but I didn't know it, right? Like,
yeah, that, so that, like that a, well, right? And so
it's like an immune system.
Exactly. And you could think of recovery as like, what is my immune system, right?
Okay.
Like how all of these things, patterns, nature, they repeat over and over again. And so when I think about, now again, how do we take decentralization, get concrete when it comes to personal recovery? Here's another example. You could have all of your different kind of tactics and tools for recovery being tied up in one relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have it decentralized in a way that you know that you've got connections with this family member, but you've also got a connection to the clubhouse, and you've got a connection to the Philmont Free Store, and you've got a connection to your reentry person, right? And so again, it's like trying to think about how to not have everything bank, like all stocked up in one place. Sort of one part of your system goes down, you're not left sort of hanging.
Yeah.
And then the last two concepts kind of go hand in hand, which is like self-renewal and self-repair. So literally like a plant can regrow, right? And quickly a branch that gets cut off.
Yeah.
Kind of stunningly quickly, right? This animals like, talk about tentacles grow back, right? If they get cut off for a lot of animals. And so I think this is the part where
we gotta love those tentacles.
Yeah. So I think this to me is just, and this is wrapping it up, this is a reminder that you are made of cells in your body that have unbelievable self-renewal and self-repair potentiality. Because I think one of the things that can trip up people in recovery is this feeling of like, I've already done so much damage to my body, why bother?
Yeah.
And that's your body can always engage in, your cells can always regenerate new health in your body. It's never too late to try and shift health in your, and I want people to know that your body is intrinsically built to constantly try to have self-renewal and self-repair happening.
We are resilient machines, resiliency.
Exactly, machines. And I think I think maybe more metaphorically, knowing in our minds where we need self-repair versus self-renewal might be a really useful tool. Do I need to repair this part of me that feels like it's been lost, or do I need to actually kind of renew some other part of me instead, right? Because sometimes we can't fix everything that's been broken, but that doesn't mean that some absolutely new way to get that need met again can't emerge if we let ourselves renew and grow into new people, into different organisms, because we're never the same person we were yesterday or the day before.
Yep.
Our cells are different. Beautiful. All the way up through our spirit. So anyway, that's the bigger picture of how recovery and resiliency in recovery is you've got all the power of nature behind you. Oh, right?
As always, so, as always, that was beautiful. I love that segment. I really do. I love the bigger picture. That was an excellent metaphor, Phoebes. Thank you for that.
You are so welcome.
All right, guys, we're going to take another break real quick. We're going to play Get by Talib Kweli. Kweli? How am I saying that?
Kweli.
Kweli.
Talib Kweli.
All right, we're going to play that song, and then we will be right back. This is Recover Together.
Yeah. We sell crack to our own out the back of our homes. We smell the musk of the dusk and the crack of the dawn. We go through episodes too, like Attack of the Clones. Work till we break a back and you hear the crack of the bone. To get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. We commute the computer, spirits stay mute while your ego spread rumors. We survivalists, turn to consumers. Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. Why some people gotta live in a trailer, cause like a sailor, I paint a picture with a pen like Norman Mailer. Me and Wella raised three daughters all by herself with no help. I think about the struggle and I find the strength of myself. These words melt in my mouth, they hot like the jail cell in the south before my core bailed me out. Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. I'm doing die like best stars, see the red sky out the window of the red island, the lead flies, the G-Raps living the lead. I die more. Smoke trees and we stay drunk. Yo, our activism attacking the system. The blacks and Latins in prison. Numbers in prison. They victim blacking the vision. Didn't know they got is rapping to listen to. I let them know we missing you. Your love is unconditional. Even when the condition is critical. When the living is miserable. Your position is pivotal. I ain't you now. Why would I lie? Just to get by. Just
just to get by, to get fly. The TV got us reaching for stars, not the ones between Venus and Mars. The ones to be reading for parts, so people get breath and hands with their penis enlarged. Saturday, Sunday, Sunday morning at the feet of the Father. They need something to rely on. We get high on the types of drugs when all you really need is love.
To get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by.
John Lennon, imagine all the people watch me rock like Paul McCartney from now until the last Beatle drop.
This morning, I woke up feeling brand new, and I jumped up feeling in my highs, yeah, and my lows, yeah, and my soul, yeah, and my goal. Just to stop smoking, stop drinking, yeah, lately I'm thinking I got my reasons. Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Some people cry, and some people try.
Welcome back. This is Recover Together, and I am Lip, your host. And in closing, I just wanted to hit again on the topic of resiliency and let everybody know that it is an innate characteristic that's built into all of us. And it's something that can help you get by professionally, spiritually, or recovery-wise. And it's just something that we all possess. It's something that gives us all the ability to cope with the tragedies of life and turn them into something beautiful like this show. As Phoebe said, with the bigger picture, it's something that we can relate to nature, because it's something that's happening every day, everywhere you look. Resiliency is key, and it can help with so many different things.
What I learned today is you're not a weed, you're a plant.
And you've got to love the tentacles.
And if you're like somebody bites off one of your tentacles, just grow another one.
I'm going to draw a picture with that. You're not a weed, you're a plant. I'm going to draw a picture of a dandelion.
Blessed be.
Or you're not a weed, you're a flower. Wow, that was good. Lawrence had something he wanted to shout out real quick.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw out these numbers. If you're in a crisis, if you're in a serious crisis, obviously call 911 or go to your local hospital. But if you need some extra support for a non-emergency crisis, you can contact the Mobile Crisis Assessment Team. It's 518-943-5555. The Columbia County Mental Health Crisis Line is 518-828-9446. And the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK.
I'd just like to take a second to say thank you very much for inviting me today.
It's
been a
welcome.
Pleasure. I love this show, and I'll try to promote it as much as I can. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome back to be on the show any time you want. We work together, so we're going to be seeing each other a lot. We can make plans in the future. Phoebes, I wanted to thank you again for that bigger picture. That was an awesome, awesome extended metaphor. And Lawrence, I loved your list. Mr. T.S., your poetry was beautiful.
Thank you.
It's getting to be that time, though. And if anybody one more time feels like they're alone, just remember that you're not. Because when we recover together, we're way more likely to recover forever. Let's recover together. Catch y'all later.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Recover Together, everybody. This has been Lip, and that was our guest host, T.S. Lawrence, the media contact of the Free Store in Philmont. And we also had Lawless Lawrence and the Titan Phoebes. Have a great week, everybody. We'll catch you same time, same place next Thursday. Peace out.